Overpaid, oversexed and over here was the usual line about American soldiers in Britain during World War II. Yet those attributes were very attractive to some British women. Tens of thousands of them married GIs and went back to the States to live. But how did they fare? Nuala Calvi is co-author of GI Brides, The Wartime Girls Who Crossed the Atlantic for Love. Nuala, good afternoon.
Hi.
Could you start by telling us about your own grandmother?
Yeah, so my grandmother was working as a typist at the American Army headquarters in London when she met my grandfather. She was actually going out with another American GI who dumped her, and she was on the rebound. She went out with my grandfather and accidentally fell pregnant. So she had to get married to him, and she ended up following him to America before the end of the war and going to live in rural Georgia.
Is it what she expected when that he had described to her?
Well, he had described that he came from this old landowning family with cotton plantations, and I think she was pretty much expecting Gone with the Wind. But when she got there, she was quite shocked by the racial segregation that she found. And she also realised that in those days, just because you had land didn't actually mean that you were rich, and that the family was struggling quite a lot. And also, like a lot of GIs, he found it very difficult to get a job because so many men were coming back from the war.
But was there a period where she was living there and he was still off fighting in the war?
No, he actually got thrown out of the army before the end of the war. He was a bit of a rogue, and he had a scam going where he would go to different Red Cross clubs and write checks in return for cash, knowing he didn't have any money in the bank. And I think he got away with this about 12 times before they caught up with him, and he was court-martialed and eventually thrown out of the army. So she was actually one of the first war brides to go to America before the end of the war. And she had to go on an army ship that was taking wounded soldiers home to America. And the war brides were told that the mission was top secret. They weren't allowed to tell anyone where they were going. And even the sailors on board had no idea who they were and assumed that they were prostitutes. So it was it wasn't the best beginning for her new life.
No, indeed not. And how, I mean, you did say she was shocked by the racial segregation. Sounds like, no disrespect, but, you know, your grandfather wasn't a great prospect, perhaps. How did your mother settle in there?
She had sort of begun to realise before she went that he had a problem with alcohol, and her experience over there was that every place they went, he would finally get a job, but it wouldn't last because, you know, the alcoholism would mean that he was getting up later and later and he'd eventually leave his job. So she had a pretty horrific time there, and she had two children by him, and then she was pregnant with my mother when she finally decided enough was enough. And he'd been sent some money from the army, and she decided to take it and buy a ticket with Cunard on a boat home and ran away, taking her two children, and went back to Ireland and gave birth to my mother in Ireland.
As a granddaughter, did your granny always speak about this, or was it one of those things perhaps she kept quiet about until later in life?
Absolutely. She remarried, and my mother and her sisters were adopted by her new husband. So when I was growing up, I assumed that this man was my grandfather. And it was only kind of bit by bit that I gleaned that there was another grandfather before him. And after my adoptive grandfather died, my granny began opening up about it a bit more and sort of talking about this time in her life when she was a GI bride. And I was really shocked by her story and, you know, really, well, horrified in some ways by what she'd gone through, but impressed as well that she'd had the strength to survive it and leave him and come back and start a new life for herself and her three children. And before she died, I promised her that one day that I would write her story.
Ah, did you find out what happened to your grandfather?
Well, my grandfather apparently went on to remarry and had two more children, but that marriage also failed, and he died in the 70s in a boating accident. And when I came over to America to research the book, one of the things I did was track down my American family, and I discovered that his sister was still alive, age 94, and she kind of filled me in on what he was like and the fact that you know, it wasn't just my grandmother who had trouble with him, that, you know, he was a serious alcoholic, and that really blighted the rest of his life. So I was very relieved when I heard that my grandmother had taken the decision to run back to Ireland like she did.
Mm. It seems as if for a lot of GI brides, well, your grandmother's story sounds quite extreme, but not untypical in the sense that perhaps what was described to them as life in the United States wasn't necessarily life in the United States when they arrived there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of women, their only experience of America was what they'd seen on the silver screen. And, you know, when the GIs arrived in Britain, that's the impression they had of them. They thought they were very glamorous, like Clark Gable. And I think that the GIs themselves tended to brag quite a lot. That's what I heard from many of the women that I spoke to, especially about the kind of places they came from and the houses they had. You know, lots of people said they owned huge ranches, but when the women got there, they'd be living in the middle of nowhere and mucking out pigs. So I think it was quite a shock for a lot of these brides to realise, you know, the conditions that they'd be living in. And the fact that, you know, while life, you know, quality of living might be pretty good in LA or New York, most people wouldn't be living there. They might well be living in the Midwest, in you know, a house with no electricity or running water, and very far from, you know, the Hollywood dream that they'd seen on the screen.
How many women left Britain as GI brides?
There were more than 70,000 GI brides who married American servicemen stationed here in the war.
That's an extraordinary number. Mm. And over, did most of them go over towards the end of the war, indeed when the war was over?
Yeah, basically when the war ended, the American Army's priority was sending its men home. But, you know, it had this problem on its hands that while they'd been stationed here waiting to go over on D-Day, many of them had got married and had wives who then were demanding transport back to America. And for quite a long time, this issue kind of rumbled on, and there were protests by brides and GI babies outside the American Embassy in London. And when Eleanor Roosevelt came to London, they picketed her hotel, demanding ships. So eventually, you know, they couldn't ignore this anymore, and Congress passed the War Brides Act. And from February 1946 onwards, it started making hundreds of army ships available to start shipping these brides over, which was an enormous operation.
Hmm. Were they given any sort of preparation as to what life might be like when they arrived in the States?
Yeah, the Red Cross, who looked after the women when they were on board the ships, would not only run activities for them like knitting classes and sing-alongs, but they also organised lots of lectures on life in America. And they were taught, you know, how to sing the American national anthem and how they would be expected to behave as an American wife and that sort of thing. So try to kind of prepare them. But there are a lot of things that, you know, even they couldn't really prepare them for. I mean, women who'd married black soldiers, for example, often weren't aware of the level of racism that they might face, or even the fact that in many states their marriage would be deemed illegal.
Mm.
And that was something that the American Red Cross often found itself coming up against.
Apart from the racial aspects to it, well, I suppose this is a racial aspect, were these women always accepted by the communities that they entered?
What, the ones that married black?
Well, yeah, no, not even if you married a white guy, but you're from, you know, you're from Birmingham and you suddenly, you know, you end up in rural Georgia, people might think you're a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of them were viewed as objects of curiosity. And one woman described how when they arrived at Grand Central Station and they were waiting for their trains to take them to their husband's hometowns, Americans would kind of come up to them and ask them to say things just so they could hear their weird accents, you know. And there are lots of misunderstandings. I mean, you think, you know, you speak the same language, but so many words actually meant different things. And one woman embarrassed herself by asking a railway porter to knock her up in the morning, which meant something very different in America. And another, she left her in-laws shocked because she told them she'd been diddled in a department store.
Mm. Presumably, though, I mean, even though there are very many interesting stories about women who were somewhat shocked about when they arrived, but did most of these marriages last?
Well, actually, overall, the divorce rate was lower than that for the general population. So a lot of these marriages did last. But, you know, a significant number of women that we spoke to did encounter, you know, problems, especially adjusting when they first arrived. I don't think many of them really realised, firstly, how different America was culturally to Britain, especially in those days, and what it would be like leaving everyone they knew, everything they knew, for one person. So often this really hit them when they had children and they really wanted their mothers around and, you know, the support network that they had back home. And, you know, in those days, the price of, you know, getting back to Britain was just, you know, out of reach for most of these women. So once they got to America, they really realised that they were stuck there for good.
And it was a one-way trip. Nuala, thanks very much for speaking with us today. The book is called GI Brides, The Wartime Girls Who Crossed the Atlantic for Love. Nuala Calvi, thank you very much.